Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. This is a show that comes to you from the road. My name is Dave Manning, and I make my living playing music in bars and casinos wherever we'll pay the bills all over the western states. And I travel around and live in my little 1965 Volkswagen microbus. And recently I was down in Tucson, Arizona, and got to sit down and visit with my cousin Tim and his wife Nicole. Made us a fantastic dinner one evening, and I want to bring you some of our conversation that Tim and I had after dinner while we were drinking some Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I hadn't seen Tim in about 2 years, and the reason that I think you might be interested in our conversation is because Tim is actually a fighter pilot with the U.S. Air Force. Tim flies the A-10 Warthogs, the infantry support fighter jets. And these are the ones that have the very straight wings and the twin jet engines mounted high up towards the rear. And out of the front sticks a huge Gatling gun. And if you want to go to davemanning.net, you can look up part one of this two-part series. And you're about to hear part number two. And last week we talked about what it was like for Tim to take his first flight in the A-10 when he was being trained, because the A-10 is the only aircraft that is only a one-seater that the Air Force uses. So there's no way that the instructor can go up with him. When he went up the first time, he was there alone. And so we talked a bit about that and a bit about what it's like to be fighting over in Afghanistan. And this week we're going to hear some more about that. After being stationed in Tucson for his training, he was stationed in Germany, then of course in Afghanistan, and spent a year in South Korea. And now Tim is back in Tucson, and he is helping to train other A-10 pilots. So I got to see him when I came through this last time. And where we left off last week, Tim was talking about his experiences in Afghanistan and what kind of the problem is and why it's so hard for the America to, quote, win this war. So here we go, kind of picking up where we left off last week with our conversation with my fighter pilot cousin, Tim.
The road's the only place I feel at home, feel at home.
I saw a guy one time. And the other thing is, yeah, it's not what they do necessarily towards the American public or the American soldier. It's what they do against their own people. That's the whole thing. The counterinsurgency, their strategy is not fight off the Americans necessarily. It's create enough chaos to discredit the government. As long as they can stop a legitimate Afghan government from being built and from actually functioning, then they can succeed. They can still thrive. It can still be a safe haven where they can get away with whatever they want to do, whether it's they're a drug lord, whether they're a warlord, whether they, you know, want to plan terrorist attacks. So get rid of the legitimate government. And the way they do that is create chaos, you know? So I've seen a guy with that camera I showed you. We were just flying back forth. We see a car stop, guy gets out, walks into a market. There are no American military personnel for 20 miles. Nobody. It's all Afghans. The guy walks right in the market and then, you know, throws his hands up, blows himself up, and blows up, you know, all people around him and stuff. All Afghan civilians. For no reason other than it totally meets their objective, where now the Afghans, who were told by the government, by the United States, by the military, they were told, they were promised, we will keep you safe. Stick with us. Join with us. Side with us. We'll keep you safe. We will everything's going to be better. Your life is going to be better. You know, everything's going to be great as long as you, side with us. As long as you are down with America and what we're trying to do here. Well, now that asshole comes in the middle of them, blows them all to shreds. And now all those people say, bullshit, America, you can't keep us safe. Bullshit, Afghan government, you can't keep us safe. Look, we're getting blown up by these psychos. And you can't keep us safe. You can't do anything to help us. And so why would we side with you? And so it all falls apart. That's the whole thing. Create chaos and discredit the government. And it works like a champ because it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to strap a bomb to your chest and walk into a populated area and blow yourself up. And totally discredits everything that we're trying to do over there. Because you promise them one thing and then they see another. President Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, he was in the middle of Kabul giving some speech about how the Taliban is defeated. There's no Taliban in Kabul at all anymore. And then 2 seconds later, he almost got assassinated. They started shooting at him, and friggin' bombs are going off in the crowd, and suicide bombers left and right, and everybody evacuated, everybody ran. You know, it was this whole friggin' nightmare. The Taliban totally won. Even though they didn't kill Karzai like they wanted to that day, he's up there again saying, Taliban's not here, it's all good, everything's safe. And then explosions go off everywhere, and all sorts of civilians die. So immediately he's discredited, and everything he said is now out the window. And that's the way that they fight. So it's totally crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah. And impossible to prevent, too. Mm-hmm. You can't. When somebody's willing to blow themselves up, it's really hard to catch them in the act.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if people could only see the terrain, again, in the way that they live, like people say, well, just build the government. Just make it a democracy. Yeah. You have any idea how hard that is? You know, like, just even from a geography standpoint, you know, they don't have newspapers. They don't have TV. They don't have radio. They don't have anything. So if you want to say democracy, just a simple message, democracy, good. President Karzai, good. Whatever. To spread that message throughout that country is impossible. You can't, there's too many mountains. I mean, just pure mountains. I mean, the mountains go up to 20,000 feet. There's no way to cross those mountains and start talking to different tribes. And that's the other thing, is the cultural. So first is geography. Second is the cultural barriers, as far as there are tribal culture. It's not the government. They don't understand. It's not a concept that they get, is that one government could run the whole country. You know, you go to one tribe and they want to do one thing. You go to another tribe, they want to do another. And it's irreconcilable. There's no way to get everybody on the same page. And there's no way, there's no, even a simple message, like I said, there's no way to get that out to everybody and make them agree on anything. There's no community. It's just crazy. Totally crazy. Every progress that we've made in 2,000 years, they have not made. So, like, and again, from a Western standpoint, people in the States, it's the only way that they can think, because they are in the States, or they are part of the Western world, and they can't imagine really a world without TV or without radio or without newspapers or without cars or without highways.
They take it all for granted.
Yeah, and they're like, well, just spread the word and just get the democracy going and just win the war. And you're like, no, this is not going to work.
Yeah. Not only can you not drive from here to there, you can't even telephone over
there. You can't
do
anything.
Yeah, that is crazy. And if they've been more used to living, like I said, like, you know, where the government would more consist of this tribe, and then 50 miles later there's a different tribe and over there, then that's their culture. Why, you know, of course they're not going to understand when, like, no, what we're going to do is everything's going to be run from 1,000 miles away now.
Yeah,
trust us.
They have
that
no
makes sense.
Idea, yeah.
It's like, how does that make sense when you know, we're used to our guy here that lives in the county running this county, you know, what would be his tribe.
Yeah.
So why would we trust
somebody?
It's
so messed up, man.
Wow.
So messed up. Yeah. I don't know what to say, man. It's crazy. We've been over there 9 years, and there's still no end in sight. I mean, just despite what the president says, I mean, there's no end in sight, at least for the Air Force, and we're going to be there forever. And it's totally, totally crazy. Because, yeah, the culture is so different. People, Western people, always want to apply a Western solution. It's not going to work because it's not Western. They have...
Yeah.
And the religion, too. The religion is crazy, man. They're absolutely nuts. It's one thing that cracks me up when people say Islamic extremist. That is a term that, to me, will never make any sense. They are all extreme. Only in America, in a place like this, where could you even conceive of a notion like a moderate Islamist? There's no, you know, like, over there, like, in Saudi Arabia, if you're gay, they stone you or they hang you. You know, like, you die. If you commit adultery, they start amputating limbs off of you. Women aren't allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, you know? And in Afghanistan, like, I'd be over there and... They have actually like a bazaar, like a mart, like a market set up on base, and they sell like all sorts of stupid crap, carpets, bootleg DVDs, like stupid stuff. So you're over there and you want to buy, you know, the latest season of 24 or whatever, and they will stop. They have to pray 6 times a day, you know, so they'll stop right in the middle whenever the time, you know, whenever their alarm goes off. Start washing their feet, they'll start laying out their carpet. It takes like 15 minutes, man. You gotta stand there, you're holding your DVDs like an idiot. And you're like, and they're bent over, la, 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 and they're bent over, you know, kissing the dirty carpet that they're leaning over on or bent over on. And it's just so nuts when you see the religion, and you're like, dude, and you're just standing there like, are you almost done? You ready? Can I buy my DVDs and get out of here? And they're just, la, 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 for 15 minutes. And it's so fun, again, when people say, oh, they're a radical Islam or they're Islamic extremists. Dude, they're all extreme. They're all radical. That's the name of the game. They're all totally fanatical about the religion. That is a given. Now, the question is if it's manifested with violence or not, if they are a terrorist or not. That's why, you know, to me the term terrorist makes sense because, yeah, that's what they are. Whether your religion is manifested violently or not is a whole separate issue, but let's not be confused. They are all fanatical Islamic. I mean, that's what they do is... And again, from a Western standpoint, there's no... You have your evangelical, right-wing, you know, fanatical Christians. You have your moderate Christians. You have your... There's different varying levels, Judaism, Christianity, etc. But and even being Islam in America, there's different levels. Everybody does different stuff. But over there, it is not an option. There's no moderate anything. It's just you are full on board or you're not. And if you're not, then you're not an Afghan, you're not a Saudi, you're not an Iraqi, you're out of the club, you know? So it's either 100% or nothing. And so that is one thing that always cracks me up. Oh, he's an Islamic extremist. No, they're all extreme.
Yeah.
The question is, are they a terrorist or not?
Because... It is, because our country is founded on the principle that you should be able to be whatever religion you want and worship however you want to worship. But, yeah, so it's hard for us to conceive that, like, you know, the state is the religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full-up theocracy where, and that's the other part about it, is that we take for granted that our rules, our laws, our judicial system is based on whatever, laws, you know? But over there, it's based on the Quran. The Quran is law, literally. So it's like, you know, you commit adultery, you commit, you're a homosexual, you commit sodomy, you do this, you do that. It is punishable by God, not by a judge or a jury or something. And so it's totally different train of thought. And that's the danger with a theocracy, is that there's no separation, obviously, between church and state. There's just, there's the Quran, and that's it. That is the, that's it. That's what we're, that's what the law, that's what the laws are based on. It's totally crazy.
Yeah, that is tricky. I mean, if you imagine living here and our government being based on the Bible.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You yeah. are gay, so we're going to stone you to death. You commit adultery, we're going to stone you to death. Like, that is reality over there. Totally nuts.
You know, when you think about it, you see, you know, what we should really do as a country is this, and this is how we should get ourselves out of this predicament.
For the U.S.?
Yeah.
Or
are you like, boy, there's yeah, there just isn't a good solution.
I don't know. When I was there, that was the biggest thing. I was there in 06 and 08, and really at the time when America had basically forgotten that we were in Afghanistan. Totally forgot. All the attention is on Iraq, and that's a whole separate issue, but I literally ran into people that had no clue that we were still in Afghanistan, and it drove me absolutely crazy because, you know, we're fighting over there. Americans are dying on a daily basis, and people had absolutely no idea. I told people, you know, oh, have you been to Iraq? And I said, no, I've been to Afghanistan. Oh, what were you there for? They have no idea. Well, I was there for the war, actually. What war? You know, and they're totally lost. And now it's just hilarious to see the tables turn, where Iraq has completely all but disappeared as a concern for Americans, and then Afghanistan's now in the forefront. But as far as what, but so the whole time I was there, you know, America had completely forgotten. And as far as our doctrine and our policy for fighting that war, it was completely unsatisfactory because there was not enough troops over there to do anything. There was one town that we fought for. It was in Helmand province, which is one of the most contested areas in Afghanistan. It's it produces something like Afghanistan produces 90 or 95% of the heroin in the world. And Helmand province alone, this one province in Afghanistan, produces 60, maybe 70% of the heroin in the world. And so obviously there's a lot of conflict down there. And that's where a lot of the funding goes to these terrorists, and that's where they make a lot of their money from. And this one town, we bombed the shit out of this place, man, day after day after day, and we shot and we bombed and we rocketed, and we really felt like we were finally doing something. Holy crap, this one town, we're gonna, if we do anything in our time here, we're gonna win this town over. We get to drive the Taliban out, and we're gonna win this for Afghanistan. We leave, and no sooner than a month or two later, the Taliban had completely taken over that town again. And we're like, what did we just do? You know, we wasted all this time, all this ordnance, we risked our lives to I guess, liberate this town from the Taliban, and now they've got it. They got it back. And it was because they didn't have enough troops to hold it, period. They had 30,000 troops in the entire country. Which, the country's not that big, you know, it fits within the size of Texas. I mean, it's smaller than Texas, right? But again, the geography is so ridiculous. And
yeah,
so
30,000 people is not a lot of people.
Yeah, so challenging that how are you going to possibly expect to hold any sort of ground with 30,000 people? It's impossible. They have 30,000 people. Right now, as we speak, it's my understanding that we have upwards of 100,000 people there, which is obviously a lot better. You know, when Obama finally pledged to send 30,000 extra in December last year, And that's what we needed all along, because every time I went there, we did our job, we did the best we could. We bombed this, we shot that, again, and a lot of times it was, they call it non-kinetic effects, where our jet noise, our presence alone dissuaged or stopped the Taliban from attacking. So we did our stuff, but again, there was not enough boots on the ground to just hold whatever they want. So they win this town, fight the Taliban out, but a month later they'd be right back in because we didn't have enough people over there to actually hold it. So my solution for winning, I guess, is more people. But it's bigger than that too, you know, because the biggest key is you have to realize we're not there to nation build. That's the other biggest part, is people say, oh, we're going to give them democracy, we're going to make them a Western civil... No, you're not. There's no way. You can't. Again, they're 2,000 to 3,000 years behind everybody else. There's no way to just be like, ugh, here, take this. Take democracy. Take Western values, Western morals, Western everything, and just run with it. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the resources. There's no way that they could possibly do that. So what you have to realize is we are not there to nation build. We want to nation build our own nation. We should start funneling more of the money towards our own people and start solving our own problems. So what we need to do is just get them, make sure that it's not a safe haven for terrorists, which it has always been for the longest time, where a place where these guys, it's the Wild West, they can do whatever they want, get away with whatever they want, they can stage, they can train, they can plan, they can scheme, get away with whatever they want, and then now they can threaten our country and our national security. What we need to do is get rid of that. And so you need to build up the government enough where it can sustain itself, build up the Afghan army, their military enough, their police force enough where it's not corrupt, where it's not completely just a joke, which it is right now, so that they can sustain and maintain their own security. But they will always be Afghans. They will always be 2,000 years behind everybody else. They will always be a shitty, hellhole country with just geography and terrain that is just insurmountable and unbelievable to the rest of the world. But that's what you have to do. You have to get enough troops out there and build up the Afghan army, build up the Afghan government, provide the security required to do all that so that they can finally take over for themselves, and then we can leave. But again, it's not nation building. We're not going to make their country like ours. There's no way. You just need to make sure that they can take care of themselves so that these terrorist cells, these groups, can't just operate with total free reign over the whole country and then likewise threaten ours. The problem is Pakistan, really, because these assholes jump back and forth from Pakistan to Afghanistan, back and forth, back and forth, and we cannot do cross-border attacks right now. So I'd be flying a million different sorties where you can't go into Pakistan, period. Bottom line, can't go in.
All right, so just after this part of the conversation, Tim and I kind of moved over into another room in the house where he had a computer set up and looked at some of the videos that he had stored on his computer. You can see every time that Tim fires one of the weapons or shoots the gun or the missiles out of the A-10 fighter jet, the camera goes on to record it. And so he's got a backlog of all these different things that he shot and blown up and everything else. So you can kind of overhear as we look at a couple of these videos.
So these assholes are setting up. And again, you know, how do you deal with killing these people? Well, watch what is done to Americans by these roadside bombs. And they're blown to bits. You know, there are people losing legs, arms, they're killed. It's awful. But so you watch these assholes, they set up this bomb, then they get in their van, and they drive away. So we wait till, because obviously this is potentially a populated area with these mud huts here and stuff. So you wait, and you're calm, you're patient, you wait till they leave, and then you see you later, dude. Thanks for playing. And then we shoot him with a gun.
Wow, so that was just a Gatling gun.
Yep.
Jeez, that's a rain of... Yeah, totally gone.
So no more roadside bones. And then you mark, you take this camera and you mark the position, and they send a team out there to disarm the bomb. And again, so this is cool for us to do that, but how many roadside bombs did we not catch these assholes?
Oh, yeah. You have to, like, see them doing that.
And then likewise, these guys are Brits that they're charged with take over this whole village, right? Take over this whole town, hold this ground, and we're going to win this town. But they can't. All they can do, the minimum they can do is fight from the rooftop. They take over this one compound, this one mud hut. And again, because at this time, there's not enough troops, there's not enough people to do anything except fight from the rooftop. Every single day, all night, all they do is fight from the rooftop. So the Afghan or the Taliban come from all around, and all they do is fight. And they don't have enough people to hold or to do anything except hold this one compound, and that's what we've been dealing with for about 7 years until now. Obama starts sending over people over there. But so this guy on the radio, we're taking fire from this building over here. This guy is talking to me right now, and then I drop a bomb. And you can see the shockwave.
Yeah, hit the camouflage.
Yeah, hit the netting. So, like, the guys will get up on the roof and they'll shoot at them, and then they'll come back, and again, it's all hit and run, and they'll jump back into the buildings. So you get rid of the building, and the guys are in it, obviously.
Wow.
These guys, like, is your standard... hang on, there's a better video in a second. You see these hot spots right here, hot spot. I see this person walking right there. I see a couple of people. So it's at night. This is all infrared. And these are people walking around. And this is where it gets a little weird because they're not shooting at Americans. They're not actively engaged in combat. But through some sort of intelligence, whether cell phone, radio, who knows, man. And that's the thing. It's not my job to know. My job is to drop the bomb. And freaking aim it and make sure it gets in the right place. Somebody else, though, has decided or figured out that these guys are Taliban or they're Al-Qaeda or they're some high-value target, some sort of intelligence. And the thing is, to this day, I have no idea who these people are, but they're bad is all I'm told. And so that's my job is, here you go, dude. Here's the bad people. Here's the coordinates. I see all these hot spots walking around in their little mud hut. And the crazy thing is throughout the entire part of this video, like right now the bomb is falling through the air. It's off the jet. Like that's the weirdest part as a pilot is you're sitting here, the bomb's gone, dude. These people are dead. You're looking at them and they're walking around and they're sitting in their mud hut and you're like, they're dead. I know it's this weird, you know, godlike thing where you're like, I know for a fact these people have, let's call it 6 seconds, 5 seconds, you know, they will die ready now, you know, and it's totally weird because they have no idea because they're just walking around. But meanwhile, the bomb, and again, we're flying so high that they can't hear us. It's kind of creepy.
Alright, that's going to do it for the My Home is on the Road show this week. If you want to hear part one of my conversation with my fighter pilot cousin Tim, just surf on over to davemanning.net where you can download any of the My Home is on the Road shows for free. That's also where you can find out more about me and about my music and travels and such like that. And a big thank you to Groundswell Media Productions that keeps that website up and running. And Nathan was telling me just the other day that he finally switched over to Netflix because he got tired of the local video rental shop in Missoula, Montana there, because it's just such a rumor mill. It's so hard to get a video with the gals in there just blabbing away about the latest gossip around town.
You almost done? You ready? Can I buy my DVDs and get out of here? And they're just la, 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 for 15 minutes.
All right, safe travels. Have yourself a fantastic day.